song, How Firm a Foundation, talked about the foundation of the Word of God. Now, are you thankful for the Word of God?
Amen.
I don't know what I would personally do without the Word of God to give me guidance and direction. And you see that we have a lot of people that even take the Word of God that we have and interpret it in weird ways and pull verses out of here and all that. But imagine if we didn't have a Bible at all. I mean, you ask, why do I believe what I believe? And, you know, I'm a Baptist. Why am I a Baptist? It's because I believe that's the closest we come to the Word of God. And I'm thankful that we have the Word of God. Without the Word of God, imagine what a mess we would be in. But we, in our own hearts and minds and before the Lord, we can go before God and look at His Word and get direction and guidance and answers to all the problems that we have. Now, we've been having a lot of fun with this racetrack here, and probably me more than y'all, but I've been having lots of fun with this racetrack. And we've said from the very beginning, we're continuing in the series, we're talking about how God lays out our life. Remember, the overall sermon series is how big is God. We started looking at creation. And how that He created all that is, and He created us as individuals. You know, the body is very complex. As I've said before, I used to think that doctors were pretty brilliant. You know, it's kind of like when I was young, like, oh man, they got the answers. The older I get, it's like, they're guessing. They don't know. Because the body is so complex. It's not because they're inept, sometimes perhaps, but it's not that they just don't have the knowledge and aren't smart people. The body is just so complex. And our Creator God is such a big God, He made our bodies. And we were made in the very image of God, not physically, but we have eternality. We will live forever. We have personality, right? We have emotions. We were made in the very image of God. And I praise the Lord for that. To me, that's a pretty big God. And then remember, we went to the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were following. And remember, God put the pillar of cloud toward the Egyptians and the pillar of fire toward the children of Israel. And they were like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And it's like, okay, well, just hold on. And Moses was the voice of reason. He said, watch out. God's got this. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to fret. God's got this. So parted the Red Sea. They crossed over on dry ground. The Red Sea collapsed back on the Egyptians and wiped them all out. I don't know about you. That's one of those miracles that I reference to God sometimes whenever I'm saying, God, I need something big. You know, you parted the Red Sea, saved the children of Israel. And so He's a big God, don't you think? And then we turned in particular, and if you have your handout tonight, we will make a little bit of progress on the handout that we've been going through. Anybody need one? There's a few extra copies up here yet. How big is God? Try not to trip over the traffic cones here. All right, anybody else need one? Everybody got theirs? Everybody else? Tim, you get an F for the day. Sorry. You're the only one that needed an extra copy. And we've been looking at this sheet a little bit, and we're still under the overall big topic of how big is God, but we've been looking that He's big enough to direct your life. He's big enough. You know, I'm not so sure that we do spend probably a lot of time talking about God's power and the bigness of God and all that. But it's just theory. It's just theory if we don't put it into practice in our lives. You know what I mean? It's kind of like it's up there. But if I wake up every day and when I get bad news or good news or whatever, and I'm traipsing along in life, and I realize in my heart and mind that God is big enough to direct my life, I put it into practice. You know what I mean? We put it into reality instead of just some theoretical thing up there. You know, most people aren't too excited about theory. You know, there's music theory. There's theories I'm trying to think of like electrical engineering, theories of physics and all the things like that, hypotheses and all that. I don't know about you, but I like things that are concrete. And it becomes concrete whenever we realize that God is big enough to direct my path. So when something stonewalls you, hits you like a ton of bricks, you can say, that's all right. God's big enough to direct my life. And we've been looking at these points in particular. If you have your hand out there, point number one we've already looked at, God directs the lives of all men. Proverbs 16:9, and a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. In a sense, what is the ultimate goal of God in the lives of all men? What is the ultimate goal for in the lives of all men? Okay, to glorify God, and that starts specifically at what point? At the point that they trust the Lord as Savior, right? So he directs their life trying to get every man or woman and child, that is, to trust the Lord as their Savior. In this New Testament age today, specifically that Jesus died for them on the cross. Before, it was faith in what God had revealed to that point, looking forward to the Messiah. Now we're looking back toward the Messiah and say, hey, and what God does, he directs people's steps. So God directs the lives of all men, we've already looked at. Number two, God especially directs the lives of the saved, especially the lives of the saved. We're his children, right? And the instant we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and God says, I got a plan for you. I got exactly what I want you to do. It says in Psalm 37 there, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That's good stuff. And all throughout the 23rd Psalm, which I'm not going to read, but notice it says the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. What's a shepherd do? He leads us, right? It says he maketh, he leadeth, he restoreth, he leadeth, he comforts, he prepares, he anoints. God is active in our lives, and he directs our steps. Point number three, God especially directs the lives of the saved and serious. So if you know the Lord is your Savior and you're serious about it, because there's a lot of people that are saved, but they're not serious about serving the Lord. They're truly born again. Maybe there was a time that they were serious, but God can get our attention a whole lot better if we're serious about the Lord. And he especially can direct our path. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. And what? That's talking about someone who's serious about the Lord. And he shall direct thy paths. That's a good thing. That's a great verse, isn't it? Trust. Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but what? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for our life. And we're not going to find it unless we're saved, and we're not going to find it unless we're serious about the Lord. I remember the doctor that was pastor down there, Buzz, what was his last name down around Huntington, Harrison? I remember him saying one time, I mean, he was a pretty laid-back kind of guy and spoke like he was very educated, and he was pastor of the church. But I remember him one time, he said, boy, I just can't believe how people just mess with God. They just toy with God. They just pretend that they're serving God, and they're not serious about it. And someone who didn't get too excited got kind of excited about that one, I remember. And that's true. We need to be serious about the Lord. Or we will not be directed by God the way that we should unless we're serious about the Lord. And then if you look at the overall picture here, remember this is kind of like the track of our life. And if we let him, God puts together. He connects the different parts of our life. Like this might be, birth through 5 years old, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to direct your path. And then after that, I'm going to direct your path. And this is through the high school years. And you want to stay close to me. And then all the way down through your life. And some of you are a little bit further down that track a little bit than others. He said it's a kind way to say it, preacher. Okay, all right, flat out. Some of you are getting kind of old, okay? But God is still directing our paths. I mean, just don't say, well, God doesn't have anything for me. That's ridiculous. And that is wrong. And it's not time. Now, you can retire from your job, but you can't retire from your Christian service to God. You hear me? So just keep on the track. So he puts the track together. It's up to us to make sure that what? We stay as best we can on the track that God has for us. And we brought up under that point there that especially those that are saved and serious, God directs their path. This is little snowflakes, remember? And like say you're going home and snow starts to fly. Hopefully not going to happen tonight, but might. They're talking about the next few days. We might have some. But then all of a sudden your car slides off. You're in a serious car accident. All kind of things go wrong. Now, God didn't say oops to that. But according to our way of thinking, it might maybe displace us for a little bit. Like, okay, God, what are you doing? We get knocked off. And remember, I put that on the track and the car went off. But he puts us right back on track. If we just trust him and say, okay, God, this didn't take you by surprise. It took me by surprise, but we're good. Make sense? Didn't remember this, our buddy here, last week. This represents self. And it's probably very appropriate. It's a big old baby because sometimes we as Christians acts like babies, right? And we say, I want it my way. I want to do it my way. I don't care what you say, God. I'm going to do it. And we do it all the time. We do it all the time. We do it in little ways. We do it in big ways. Some people, now we got to be careful to teach our young people, you do what God wants you to do. Because you know what the world says and most parents say? You get you a job where you can make plenty of money, son. Now, that's not right. I'm sorry, but that's not right. There's nothing wrong with making money. And you got to make some money or else you probably won't kick through unless God just sends a raven maybe to look after you. But like he did Elijah, remember that? I'm not making that part up. It's in the Bible. Really, it is. But we need to make sure to encourage our children to do what God wants them to do. Whether that's engineering, whether that's being a doctor, whether that's being a mechanic or an HVAC guy or a nurse or whatever, encourage them to do what God wants them to do. But it might be preacher, it might be missionary, it might be full. But they need to be serious about the Lord, and they choose the path that God has for them based upon what God wants them to do, not what mom and dad wants to do, and definitely not what the world says to do. You got to get lots of money. I mean, I've heard that a lot. I mean, parents that are even Christians will make statements like that. Well, you got to go out, son, and make a bunch of money. You know, this world's expensive. No, you don't. Life is a vapor. It appears for a moment and vanishes away. I mean, they can work at a job and be totally miserable and outside of God's will. And how good's that? They got all the toys in the world, but they're not happy. They're not fulfilled because they're not following God's track for their life. So we sometimes get in the way. I mean, sometimes things just happen. You know, it kind of rock our world a little bit because we live in a sinful world. But sometimes we on purpose say, you know what, God? And we do this all the time. Let me tell you. I know what you want me to do, God. I know you want me to read my Bible. But I'm not going to do that much. I'm too busy. God, I know you want me to pray. So we put our big, immature baby self in God's way. And even in decisions of our life, you know, who now we've got to back that up for all of us probably here, but who we marry, where we go to school, what job we take, where we live, all these things. We need to consult God and get self out of the way because we'll get knocked off the track. But God is gracious. What do? When that happens? We need to recognize we're wrong, say, God, I'm sorry. I got big old baby self in the way, and I'm going to get it out of the way. Forgive me. I want to get back on track. And you know what God does? I've made it very clear, I think. He gets us. He brushes off. I stole Ken's car because it runs better than mine, okay? So brush off the dust off of it and put you back on track, right? What's that? It's a Chevy. But I think it ran out of gas. It didn't make it all the way down the track. But how does God direct us? That's what we're going to talk about tonight in the time we got left. You see on this track, everybody look at the clock. Go ahead, look at it. It's after 20 after, right? But see, remember, we swapped the order of stuff. So we're doing good. We're doing good. All right, now on this track, now some of you are very familiar with it. You see on that track, it's got what on each side of that there, Ken?
Got a guardrail.
Okay. All right, if you can't, the cars would just go off crazy. I mean, if this was just flat and God's will was that way and just flat and say, okay, this is God's will, we'd be shooting down that thing and flying off here and flying off there. But he gives us guardrails, even on this track. The analogy continues, and no analogy is perfect, because I'm sure you can pick holes in this analogy, but hopefully it'll stick in our brain a little bit. There's guardrails, and I think there's two major guardrails that keeps us on the track that God has for our life. Two guardrails. We're going to talk about them. One of them's a point. You're going to have to skip down there a little bit. It's on page 2. We're going to jump down to number 7. Number 7. Aren't you thankful and so thankful and so glad that I know how to make an outline and I jump over a few of the points and I go down. Number seven. Okay, you ready? You ready to fill in the blank here? God directs us with the Word of God. Now, we sang How Firm a Foundation on purpose because that is our foundation. God directs us with the Word of God. Let's just talk real practical. Then we'll look at some of these verses here. Let me ask you a question. Are there general plans in the Word of God that apply to all Christians? Okay. Give me some for instances. What are some things that we know we either should do or shouldn't do generally as a Christian? Okay, we should pray. Does the Bible say pray without ceasing, for instance? What else? Read the Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's in here, general. That doesn't apply to every Christian, though, does it? Are you sure? No. Every Christian. Every Christian. Let's say that one more time. Every Christian. There's certain things in this book that apply to every Christian. What else? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That should be number one. Numero uno, okay? Number one. What else? What's that? Assembling together. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of such some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day of what? The day of the Lord's return. It's closer. Actually, it's about an hour closer now than it was when we started the service. So it's kicking down like that. And so we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but so many do. So that applies to everybody? Everybody. This book tells us how to live our lives. And it is real broad strokes right there. We know they apply to everybody, right? But what about issues of our day? What about issues of our day? The social issues of our day. I mean, this is what I'm supposed to believe, right? I'm going to get in the wind and see which way the wind of opinion is blowing, and that's what I'm going to... No, we don't have to do that. What about abortion? I mean, we don't have to sit back and say, let me think about that a little bit. No, you don't have to think about it a bit. Don't get your pea brain going. You're just going to waste a bunch of energy. Because the Word of God talks about we are wonderfully and fearfully made. Before I was even formed, you knew me, right? And you called me. Now, that the instant of conception, that baby becomes a living soul. Boom, that's it. You say, how do you know that? Because the Word of God values life. Who can take life? Only God. Who can give life? Only God. So there's so many things, not only just general statements, but things like abortion. It's right here. What about this gender goofiness that's going on? What about this gender goofiness? Now, in the Bible, I've read there must be at least 6,000 different ways we can identify. No, it's not there. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And it goes on, it says, He made them male and female. That's it. You don't get the choice. It's amazing to me how clear the Word of God is and how dumb we are sometimes. Right? Now you say, well, preacher, not everybody accepts the Word of God. Well, that's their problem. But I'm going to accept it, and that's where I'm going to stand. And it's like, I'm awful wound up, aren't I? What about homosexuality? Preacher. Oh, you know, I know I've met this one, and they're so nice. Well, praise the Lord, they can be very nice people, right? They're nice people. Some of the nicest people are people that are homosexuals. I mean, you encounter them in stores. You see them at Dairy Queen, I'm sure. They're around. They're not near the population that people want you to think. They are, by the way. But, you know, some estimate no more than 1% of the U.S. population. 1%. Some would say maybe up to 4 or 5%. But still, it's a very small, small, small group. I go toward the lower side of that. But the point is, we have Christians today. You got to be careful basing your beliefs and your doctrine upon your life. Because some people that their whole life they've known, according to the Word of God, that homosexuality is wrong. It's sinful. Let's not beat around the bush. It's sinful. But they've known that. But now we got someone in our family came out of the closet. And they're so nice. And so I just don't know. Folks, let me. It's still wrong. I mean, you read about Sodom and Gomorrah back in the Old Testament. And you read about that. Read that story when the angels came to Lot. And you come out of that reading that story saying, it's okay, because it's not. You go to Romans chapter 1 and read that about how people have given up the natural use of the man and the woman. I mean, you read that and say, oh, it must be okay. It's not. I'm not being mean to just picking on that one thing, because we have all kind of areas that we want to say, well, this is what I feel, or this is what I've experienced. That we need to follow the Word of God. And if we don't, you're on your own, Bubba. You're on your own. That's not a real good place to stand. I want to stand with God. If I'm a child of God, I want to stand on what the Word of God says. We need to love every homosexual. We need to love everyone that identifies whatever they identify as. I identify as a pencil or a cockroach or a cat or whatever they identify as. We're supposed to love them, absolutely. That's also found in the Word that we have to do that. But we should never say, well, it's okay. It's not okay. If they don't have a change of heart and trust the Lord, they're not going to enter the kingdom of God. As you've heard me say, I would like every perverse person in Harrison County to come to church here. Seriously. Hear the Word of God preached and get truly born again and have a radical change in their heart and life. And you'll find, I don't call the homosexual bunch gay. I've never used that term. I don't care if it is a popular term, because it's not true. It's not descriptive. They are not gay. They are some of the most unhappy people in the world, looking for purpose, looking for anything in life, and they can't find it because they haven't turned to Jesus yet. And when they turn to Jesus, so I don't say gay, because they're not. They're homosexual. Now, the Word of God, it not only tells us what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do, it tells us about social issues, it tells us what we're to stand on that and how we're supposed to stand. What about specifically for our life? What about specifically for our life? We're seeking God's direction for our life. Don't you think we ought to get in the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit of God testify to us through the Word of God and give us guidance and direction? Now, some people, really, honestly, there's a lot of Christians have no clue what I'm talking about right there. They don't. They're not in the Word of God the way they should. They're not praying to God the way they should. And whenever it comes to a decision in life, they pull a coin out in their pocket. Okay, heads, that's what I'm going to do. That's not the way God intended it. You see, God has that perfect plan. He lives inside of us in the form of the Holy Spirit. He's given us His Word. And if we're reading, you know, some people also, I think this is kind of odd too. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? Boom. And they open it up and start reading. I think that's a little bit fabricated too. But what really gets my attention is when I'm reading through or reading where I'm supposed to be reading in my devotion or whatever, if I'm going through Proverbs or I'm going through, you know, the Old Testament or I'm going through the New Testament, I happen to be in the book of Acts, then I'm like, God, I really need some direction here. I really need some guidance. And I'm reading through the book of Acts, and it's something just like boom. You know what that boom is? That's the Holy Spirit of God taking the Word of God to show the child of God what direction he's supposed to go. And like I said, some people don't have any clue about that. I about fell over one time. I was in a deacon's meeting in a church I used to pastor. And we had this thing that would come up. And I know because of what I just told you, walking with the Lord and seeking out God's will in the Bible. and reading along, I knew, just as well as I know John is sitting in that seat right now, I knew what we were supposed to do in that issue. I knew it. And if the preacher don't know it, we're in trouble. I knew it. I knew what God wanted. And I said before those deacons, and we had a little controversy going on here, and I said, I know that God told me that was what we need to do. I know it. One of my deacons said, how do you know that? By golly, I almost fainted dead away. We got to know what God wants us to do as individuals and as a church, and we need to seek out His will and His way. And if we're wandering in the darkness, no wonder we're not moving forward. We need to be figuring out what God wants us to do. That's why I say a lot of Christians don't have a clue what I'm talking about. They understand that if it says right or wrong, they understand the social issues. But when it comes to actually giving me direction or our church direction from the Word of God or from our time from God, when we spend time and quality time with, they don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. It's like, huh, okay. And then they reason it through in their little pea brain. Isn't that exactly what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us not to do? And lean not to thine own understanding. I think that's where a lot of times the reason our churches aren't being churches and aren't moving forward and accomplishing things for God and seeing a big God work is because we got it too wrapped up in our little pea brain and we're not going to step out in faith. If we don't step out in faith, how in the world can God bless us? You see, I'm thankful. I'm about ready to quit. I'm thankful that in my life, in God's will for my life, He's put up two guardrails. One of them we've talked about tonight is the Word of God. Let's look at these verses just a little bit. You see under that point there? First of all, Romans 12, 1 and 2, that's not there. It's actually on page 1. It talks about the renewing of your mind, knowing the will of God. Where do you renew your mind at? The Word of God, right? Kind of washes out your thoughts and washes in God's thoughts. Psalm 119, verse 5, it's right there written for you. What's it say under point number 7? God directs us with the Word of God. It says Psalm 119, verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed, what? To keep thy statutes. You know, statutes, if you find in Psalm 119, that's the longest chapter in the Bible. And it has different sections, and all the verses in those sections start with the same Hebrew letter, then the next Hebrew letter, then the next Hebrew letter. And if you look at that, the Word of God is called statutes and testimonies and things like that. It's called several things. It's talking about the Word of God. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Wouldn't that be a pretty good prayer for all of us? Oh, that my ways were directed by your Bible. Psalm 119:11, it's not written there. If you want to write down this reference, it says, thy word have I hid in my heart. Do you remember the rest of it? That I might not sin against thee. Again, the Word of God directs us and tells us what we should do and shouldn't do. Now, I've also run across Christians that say something like this. Now, they made up their mind what they're going to do, which is sinful. I mean, it's really crazy things. You know, like, I'm going to divorce my wife and marry this girl because God told me to. And it's like, God's directions are not going to violate His Word. So you've got to back up just a little bit. You know, we're one man for one woman for life. That's the way God ordained it, right? So don't tell me that God told you to do something sinful because He didn't. You're getting the message from the whole wrong side. It says in Psalm 119:35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I what? Delight. Delight. You want to be blessed and have a wonderful life? Do what the Word of God tells you to do. It's that guardrail over there. I'm thankful for guardrails. I think I told you one time down at Golly Mountain, where I grew up, between two big mountains on the highway, Route 60. You got Golly Mountain on one side, you got Soul Mountain on the other side, and they're curvy as can be. And I was told way back one time, on Golly Mountain, one of the cars went over the hill, and it went so far down in there, it's still down in there rusting. That'd be a long way down there figured out. You know, around Hawk's Nest, I mean, that's the top of the mountain. I bet that car and that guy that died in that wreck would have sure appreciated a guardrail. We have the guardrail of the Word of God. It says in Psalm 119:59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. There's another word for the Word of God, testimonies. You know, basically, I thought on my way. Okay, God, what do I need to do here? I'm thinking about this. Oh, okay. I'm going to turn my feet unto thy testimonies, what the Word of God says. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a what? A light unto my feet and a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Not only the immediate things in my life, but also in the things down the road, God directs me. And your word is my flashlight. You know, these old westerns got these old lanterns, you know, and they're going around. I can't hardly see anything. And I love a good flashlight. You know, something even better than a flashlight, you know what that is? The Word of God to direct us. Psalm 119:133. Order my steps, what? According to my own desire. No. Order my steps according to the world. No. Order my steps in thy word. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. We're going to go back to the big point, okay? The big point is, how big is God? And then the subpoint of that we're looking at, he's big enough to direct our paths. And one way that he does that, we talked about tonight. Remember the track? Two sides on it? Let's call them guardrails. One guardrail we've talked about tonight is the Word of God. The Word of God. Are you thankful for the Word of God? Don't we need to know more what's in the Word of God? I believe any preacher, any conservative preacher today in America would tell you we are more biblically illiterate in our churches today than we've ever been. And that's a choice. We've chosen not to look into the Word. We've chosen not to consult the Word. We've chosen, even when we have big decisions, to not go before God and say, God, make it clear. I want to know your will. You know, the boys have a lot of decisions right now that they're thinking about. Seriously. I mean, they got decisions. One's about ready to graduate. And, you know, as far as where God wants him to go, both of them, as far as who does God want me to marry someday. I mean, these are pretty big things, don't you think? And you know what our biggest advice to them is? Just trust God. Just don't stress. You know, let God just be in control. Just listen to him. You know, I'm not filling their heads with a bunch of things. Well, you got to do this and you got to do that. I wouldn't be the right kind of dad if I did that. I'm saying you listen to God. Now, I'll tell you what I'd like to see happen, but God is the one who's going to tell you. And we find out what God wants us to do in the Word of God. Amazing book. Amazing book. Such an amazing book. I scratch my head at why we, and I say we, don't spend more time in this amazing book. Guardrail. Keeping us on God's track for our life. If you would bow your head and close your eyes. Every head bowed and every eyes closed. Let me ask you something. In this topic of how big is God, specifically, God directs us with the Word of God. Let me ask you, what place does the Word of God have in your life? Now, I know in general ways we could answer, oh, it's a big thing, preacher. It's big. It's a problem. But then if it really is, look at your last 24 hours. Was there any time found to look into the Word of God, to read the Bible, God's Word to us? In the last 24 hours, you really have a hard time saying, "Oh, it's big, it's important." If we can't see in the last 24 hours of spending at least a few minutes looking at the Word of God, and I imagine we really need to spend all of us more than just a few minutes in it. We really need to look at it and study it, and have God and ask Him for direction and say, "What do you want me to do?" If you see a little bit of a lack there in your time in the Word of God, would you ask God to forgive you for that? And would you ask God to help you to spend more time in this guardrail of our life called the Bible? Would you do that from your heart right now, if God is speaking to your heart? Lord, help me to spend more time studying and reading your Bible, the guardrail to my life and your will for my life. our time together tonight, looking at your word. Lord, help us to help us, Lord, all of us. I think we could probably all say, Lord, help us to spend more time in your Bible. Lord, you give us guidance and direction from the Word of God, and we thank you that you've given us the Bible. What a treasure we have. And Lord, help us to spend more time, again, studying and reading your Word. And Lord, if there's anyone here or anybody listening, and even by the phone tonight, Lord, who's never trusted Jesus as their Savior, now, Lord, I pray that even before this day is over, they may realize their need of a Savior, call out to you in sincere, heartfelt repentance and forgiveness, asking you, Lord, to forgive them of their sins, and telling you in prayer that they believe that Jesus really was your Son who died upon the cross to pay for their sins, and Lord, committing and confessing Jesus as their Savior. We pray that they'll do that very thing tonight. Lord, we love you.